I once heard somebody call this generation not job seekers, but job shoppers. And so your online presence and your social strategy has to be really strong because, you know, they've got a lot of opportunity out there available to them and you've got to stand out in that crowd.
Hi, everyone. It's Jill Shapelman with Stories, Inc. As a former campus recruiter, communicating with early career talent is always an interesting topic to me. In today's episode, Bernadette and Melissa from Stories are sharing some of the latest research on what Gen Z is looking for in the workplace and what we're actually telling them during the recruitment process. If you touch early career talent at all, either in recruiting or through internal company programs, you're going to want to hear this. Let's dive in.
We have a really exciting topic today because as we're getting closer to summer, that means a lot of things, one being that interns and new grads are joining the ranks of many companies there. So today we are going to be talking about early career recruiting and more specifically how to communicate with Gen Z in the workplace. Because as crazy as it sounds, as these interns are coming in, you can be uncovering their stories throughout the summer. And then these stories over the next few months are going to be informing your recruiting efforts come fall. So it's not just me today. I'm joined by my wonderful colleague, Melissa Jones. Hi, Melissa.
Hi. Hi, Bernadette.
Thanks so much for being here. So Melissa is one of our content strategists here at Stories, Inc. and especially applicable for today. In her prior life, she was a campus recruiter. So welcome, and you're our expert for the day. So can you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit more about your background in early career recruiting?
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having me. I am particularly passionate about this topic. I spent probably 5 or so years in the talent acquisition space at a Fortune 500 aerospace company and had a lot of fun talking to college students, going to diversity conferences and talking to, you know, new grads. And so that experience has been so much fun that I thought that we could talk a little bit about how the work that we do now can be applicable to preparing for those types of conversations and for that overall sort of new grad recruitment season that's upon us.
What makes early career recruiting kind of unique compared to other areas that you might be recruiting for?
Yeah, this is an interesting demographic, right? Because they have a lack of career experience. They've got different kinds of questions and really needs throughout this candidate journey than those of experienced professionals. And so I remember spending a lot more time on the career fair floor, really orienting students to how their major could be applied to the kinds of roles that we had at our company, and then directing them to managers who could talk more about the specific type of projects and work that they're doing, get them really sort of energized and picturing themselves in those jobs. And so you're not really sort of doing that with an experienced hire, right? They already have an idea of what they want to do, where they want to go next with these new grads or interns. They're trying to figure all of that out. And so there's an opportunity, you know, in this video content and the kind of content you want to create up front to help them understand that before they get to that career fair floor, and you save yourself some time.
Yeah, I think that piece is really interesting because it's, yes, they don't know quite what they want to do. And I think also they don't have the experience evaluating culture and just like working as someone who has worked before has. So like when we talk about things like work-life balance and flexibility and mentorship and career growth and like things that if you're a more experienced professional, you might know what to look for and how to evaluate a workplace. This is the first time that some of these people are doing that. That makes the communication and the content piece so much more important because you're also kind of like educating them on those things that they might not know what they're looking for, but they could hear a story or hear something about your culture and they will say like, yes, or no. They're like, oh, that sounds good. Or like, oh, actually, I don't think I want to do that. So you can kind of inform them along the way too.
Yeah, that's 100% right. And if you think about career fair floors, there's a variety of different types of companies, industries, and those cultures are very different from one another. So that in of themselves, they're trying to figure out what culture is right for me, what industry and what culture is right for me, because some of these majors can be applicable across all of them.
So is there anything else that's kind of specific about the early career?
Yeah, you know, this is the only talent segment that you can really generalize by age. You know who your competition is. And it's much more competitive in this space. I once heard somebody call this generation not job seekers, but job shoppers. And so your online presence and your social strategy has to be really strong because, you know, they've got a lot of opportunity out there available to them and you've got to stand out in that crowd.
So you mentioned generalizing by age, and I don't like to generalize. I think to an extent, you know, all the generational stuff, we are all people, but these are people who have come of age at the same time. They've gone through similar challenges at similar times in their lives, and it does shape how they view the world and, specific to our conversation today, how they view work. So we have kind of gathered some of the latest research in Gen Z, and Gen Z spans from anyone for 28, 29 years old right now down to 12. So it's a pretty big age group. We're right in the middle right now of those people that are graduating college and kind of like embarking on their careers are really right in the core of that generation cohort there. If you think about who's early career in your company right now, this is that age cohort, Gen Z. And when you think of people who you're going to be recruiting over the next 5 to 10 years, it's also Gen Z. So it's really a good time to be uncovering the experiences from that group because they will really resonate with people coming up. So we're kind of like right in that speed. But I thought, Melissa, I have gathered these stats and just going to throw them at you. And if you can kind of tell us what you think that means from a culture communication, what companies should be doing, knowing that this is what Gen Z is looking for.
So, good. Absolutely.
Okay. The first one, I think this one's super interesting, is that 45% of Gen Z is concerned about the stability of their employment. That's something that in a lot of the studies kept on coming up, is they're looking for stability.
Yeah, this is an interesting point, right? That they want to know going into the conversation, what kind of competitive pay are you offering? What kind of benefits do you have? What is the stability for them? Again, thinking about this sort of job shopper, bring that information up front so they have a good understanding of what you're offering and how those things can really make it easier for them to work at your company and not have to be so concerned about stability of jobs.
So I think bring those benefits, bring those things to the top. We evaluated the top 100 intern program career sites, and we actually looked at the career sites and tried to see what they were talking to, try to hit on all these points. And very few career sites even listed if the internships were paid opportunities. So even just something like that, of just listing it's a paid opportunity up front, just rings this bell for them. It says this is a place that they value my salary. It's competitive pay. So a client that we worked with recently on an early career kind of project is, and it was just one line in one video, but it was a person lived in New York City. And she said, me working here, they really value me. They have competitive pay and it allows me to work and live in New York City without having a second job. And that means the world to me. Like one line in one video, but kind of like captures the essence of this stuff.
Yeah. The other thing I would say, this is an opportunity to really feature interns who have gone from that internship to full time or even part time to full time. There's a great opportunity there to show that career progression that really helps understand how you can stay with the company.
That's a great. Okay, next, social impact. 77% of Gen Z respondents said it mattered to work at an organization whose values align with their own.
Yeah, that's a big number. There's an interesting story that I know I've shared with you previously, but I remember being at one of my first career fairs by myself, and a couple of students came up to me and said, what's it like to work at a company that manufactures weapons, right? And we know those industries exist. And that was a shocking moment for me. And that's an opportunity then, to talk about all the great things the company was doing to support community and to, put their best foot forward in a social way. In the world. And so you have to think about some of those things. The purpose and meaning at work is a significant value for this generation. And so you want to clarify and showcase what social issue your company is committed to help solving, especially if you're in a, in an industry like I was.
Yeah, no. And I think that story just shows that it's a topic that early career not really cares about. Okay. Career growth, not surprising when we're talking about early career professionals, but 87% of Gen Z say that learning and development benefits are important when evaluating a job opportunity.
Yeah, I think we probably have a a good sense of this one. But the point I really want to make here is that if you have some clarity on the advancement opportunities, they're very important. And I think you can showcase how someone went from an intern to VP, for example. I've just talked to someone recently where they walked me through that career experience and they're sharing that for one of their story sessions with us. And I think that's an incredible journey that you can showcase. So there's probably other things like emphasis on tuition reimbursement programs, other kinds of benefits that you can highlight that would be very relevant to this particular area.
Yeah. And then the one other thing I'll add here is, especially if your workplace is hybrid or remote first, I think there's a lot of it is challenging as an early career professional when you're looking to build those relationships and that kind of natural mentorship that happens when you're sitting in the same room as your peers just doesn't happen when you're remote. But it can absolutely still build these really strong relationships. So I think just finding the stories to tell there and really showing early career talent, like, this is how you're going to build a community. This is how you are going to have access to mentorship, and just kind of showing what that looks like in this new world of work is super. Next, well-being. 78% of Gen Z say that having a sustainable work-life balance is central to their definition of career success. I think that's probably all of us, but it is still super important.
Yeah, exactly. I think in hindsight, probably some of the older generations are thinking, yeah, why didn't we raise our hand and be so adamant about wanting this level of well-being?
I think that's the difference, is just like being outspokenly adamant.
Yeah, yeah. And they, they want to have enriching experiences along the way. They don't want to wait until retirement to be able to, spend time with family or take that vacation that they've been, saving up for. They want that sense of fulfillment outside of work. And by getting that sense of fulfillment, I think that even leads to a sense of satisfaction while at work. So you're seeing this more and more, that they're, very outspoken about wanting to balance as best as they can work and life. And if you showcase how your employees are able to do that and live fulfilling lives outside of work, I think that really backs up and supports how well-being is important to your organization.
And then this, I included this text. It was very shocking to me. And this kind of goes back to the benefits piece. And you spoke to this a little bit earlier, Melissa, but just that 55% of 18 to 24 year olds report having received a diagnosis and or treatment for a mental illness. That's like a really, really shocking statistic to me. And just not to kind of like jump to your reaction, Melissa, but just like when I see this, I just think of that when a candidate is evaluating a workplace, knowing upfront what mental health benefits are available to them, what programs are available, even something like a subscription to ClomApp that just kind of can like be an added element to their life and well-being. But I just think this statistic just really shows that you really need to be talking about that, and they expect you to talk about it.
Exactly. I think if you have those kinds of benefits, communicate them loudly. Sometimes I think we may take those things for granted or not really put a lot of weight into those, but this number tells you you've got to.
Okay, and this is our last one here about what Gen Z is looking for at the workplace, is diversity, equity, and inclusion. So 80% of Gen Zers think it's important for brands to demonstrate diversity and inclusion.
I think I once heard that this is probably the most diverse generation, right, of our time. And at the end of the day, I think what they're looking for is connection and community at work. And so those emphasis on employee resource groups and initiatives like that are things that you should showcase. Showcase how your employees really feel connected and valued at work, and you'll attract that next generation.
Okay. I mentioned this earlier, but we analyzed the career sites of the top 100 internal programs, looking at the early career pages of their website. And these are just a couple that I wanted to highlight. And I say this with all the respect, but there is a lot of opportunity here. So. And these are some of the top intern programs that are really creating wonderful experiences for their early career talent, but not a lot of them are talking about it a lot. So I think if you're employer brand, marketing, internal communications, and you have the ability to share these stories, there's a huge opportunity to do this. So we found that only 52% of the career sites included a video on the early careers page. Only 39% had any mention of learning and growth opportunities, which, considering this demographic, is pretty, I think, very low. And then only 20% included anything related to DEI on their early careers page. So I just think there was like a ton of white space here.
Yeah. And think about how this generation consumes content. You know, you've got TikTok and you've got all these social platforms that are very video based. Translate that into your career sites too. There's no reason you can't.
Yeah, that's such a good point. Okay. So that kind of concludes our like diving into Gen Z portion of our session today. So now that we've kind of talked about what Gen Z is looking for in the workplace, the opportunities that we have to share those stories, let's talk a little bit about actually what it's like to create this content. So what, Melissa, as a previous university recruiter, kind of how would you approach uncovering these stories and creating?
Yeah, I think the first thing that you'd want to do is talk to your current interns and talk to that early career talent. Find out what they're interested in, find out how their experience is going. All of that can lead to really great content that would be helpful for your conversations while you're on campus or any of your collateral or even on your career site for that matter. You can feature them there or their testimonial could be featured there.
Yeah. And I think all those topics we just talked about, those would be the types of kind of like areas that you're looking to dive in and get stories around.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have any favorite interview questions that you like to ask this group?
Yeah, I think one of the probably from an HR perspective, the really great question I like is what surprised you the most about working here, because there are often responses to that you won't expect. And it probably helps you understand what becomes important to this demographic. But then also, what new skills have you gained?
Can you think of something that surprised you? Like a time that you've asked that question and someone had, like the answers kind of surprised you?
Yeah. Someone said the ability to bike to work and that they had, what's it called? Like the bike parking, right? Basically where you could just park your bike. And that's like, it feels so simple, but the reality is not every place has that available to them, right? And if you can bike to work, you want to make sure your bike's secure when you get there. And I thought, oh, that's neat. Well, I guess people should think about that more often.
That's a really good question because, like you said, it gets surprising answers, and then you might get, and that really gets things that are maybe different from other workplaces too.
Yeah, and well-being, right? Ties back to that well-being. They want to bike to work and give them an opportunity to do that.
What else? What other favorite questions do you have?
Yeah, let's see. I think, what has been your favorite company event you've attended? If you think about that connectedness, or having to, or the ability to sort of build your network while you're at the company or while you're interning, that question can really help you define that and share that with the world. Again, share that with that audience that you're interested in. My intern participated in this and here's what they got out of it, and you can be a part of it too.
Nice. That's a good one. I think I cut you off earlier, but I think you talked about what new skills have you.
Yeah, what new skills is really great too. You know, it's again, thinking about, how does my major apply at your company? That can really demonstrate that I can go from, let's say, having a finance degree to working in HR, you know? And so when you have that opportunity to showcase what skills have I gained and where did I work while doing it, you can see yourself in different roles and not just in a pure finance role if that's what your major is.
That's a really interesting question. Awesome. And I think all these questions are great because they not only open up something personal about the person, but I think it creates an answer that allows you to ask really great follow-up questions too.
Yeah, I am so fascinated to find out what people studied and where they end up in their career, because often you'll find that they studied one thing and got a degree in one thing, but they're in something entirely different today. And I think that's such an inspiring story. And we often uncover that when we do the work that we do.
Awesome. Okay, so we'll use those questions to get really great stories. And then if you had to kind of rattle off the kind of like most important types of content that you need to be creating for early career talent, what do you have to have in your content library?
Yeah, so you definitely have to have photos. You have to have video, as the data showed you, and then text-based stories. And if I think about how you can apply those three elements, they're great for your career site. You want to think about how you can repurpose all of that for social media. There's also that hard copy element. That's the handouts, the things at your career fair booth, your booth in and of itself. You can also, you know, if you have a video screen or, you know, a TV at your booth, for example, those videos that you have can be playing right there while the student's waiting in line to talk to you. So there's like a variety of ways that you can repurpose this content. So think about the layers of your on-campus recruitment strategy and how you can infuse this content you're capturing through that entire process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that like physical component is super important with university. So you said like the handouts, the booth. So it's like having photos, having like the text-based stories, like having, you could have just like a nice graphic on handout, which is for like a QR code that links to a video. Like there's a lot of that kind of physical element too. So we've uncovered the content, created your library, and then where are some of the places that you're sharing this with people?
Yeah, I spent some time doing this myself, just strategizing on what are the different places. I've got this really great video. Where can I share it? It belongs on the career site. It belongs in an email campaign that I'm sending out to my targeted demographic, early careers, right? Here's what it's like to work here at this company. It's a video that talks about that. Send that in that email campaign. Even during interview prep and as an example, you want these students to come as prepared as they possibly can. Here's information we should be feeding to them in order to make sure that they understand our culture before they get to that interview and make sure that they feel like it's a fit for them. You know, it's just as much an interview of the company as it is an interview of that in early career student. So, yeah. I think it's just important to make sure that you really strategize and think about all the places you can put this content.
Mm-hmm. One that I also want to draw attention to, because I think it's a channel that has just blown up over the last 18 months, is employee advocacy. And I think more and more people are sharing their own experiences on social media. I think with this Gen Z demographic, it's not just LinkedIn. It's like on TikTok, it's on Instagram, it's on their stories, they're making reels. That doing some training and prep with your current early career talent and maybe giving them photos or giving them photo opportunities and giving them a little bit of training on how they can be talking about your culture. And they will just multiply your reach like crazy and get in front of all their friends. And when you think about kind of the power of, I think it's the reason why a lot of companies will return to career fairs, you know, year after year at the same university when you have that network. So if like you have someone who's a finance major at this company and then they're doing a great job of sharing their stories on their personal channels, they're friends with other people on their major who are also looking for jobs. So like kind of activating the professionals to share on their own channels, I think is a really smart way to use this content.
Yeah, the students never wanted to talk to HR. They never wanted to talk to a recruiter. They want to talk to the alumni from their alma mater who's now actually doing the work. You know, they want to talk to people who are like them that have, you know, gone through their similar experience, you know. And so that employee advocacy is huge from a recruitment perspective, for sure. And then, you know, I was looking at this list and it made me think about job descriptions too. And again, back to that video number, I feel like not enough job descriptions have video attached. Think about, again, people don't read too long, didn't read. Like, this is an opportunity to weave a job description video into that platform instead of a significantly long job description that half the people are probably skimming.
No, absolutely. I think I saw somewhere that job descriptions that have video have like an 800% reader click rate or something like that.
Wow.
Okay. And so to kind of round us out and kind of pull everything that we've talked about today together, we have a quick just kind of case study to share. So Stories Inc. worked with Intel to create an early career talent community nurture campaign. So they had over 100,000 early career professionals just kind of sitting in their CRM, you know, every marketer and recruiter's dream to have this categorized audience. And but they were only sending them job alerts. And so they wanted to share information stories about their early career culture at Intel. So we worked with them to interview early career professionals around the world that really mirrored the types of candidates that they were looking to attract. And we built out a 3-email campaign talking about a lot of the topics that we talked about earlier. So talking about well-being, talking about innovation, talking about career opportunity. And so all of these emails were populated with blogs and videos and 2 interactive digital experiences, a quiz and this kind of like global career map. And when they sent this email campaign out during early career recruiting season, they had a 50% open rate, 7% click rate. And the quiz have taken over 1,300 times, which resulted in it driving more applications than any other campaign that year. So just a quick case study, and we'll link to it in the comments, just showing that when you know what your audience wants, and then you know how you can align with that in your culture, and you tell stories that kind of connect your culture to what the audience wants, it's just going to be really powerful content in a really campaign.
Yeah. One of the hardest parts is probably ensuring you have enough content, and we're here to help you do that.
Yes. No, totally. As a content creator myself, I can agree. That can be the hardest part. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Melissa, for being here today.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. This is fun. Yeah. Like I said, I really love this topic so much.
As always, thank you so much for listening in. If you're enjoying these conversations, please subscribe or follow the Spotlights by Stories Inc. podcast on whatever platform you listen in on so you don't miss an episode. You can also head over to storiesincorporated.com for more resources, guides, and tips on growing your employee story efforts, no matter what role you're in.